Appreciate that. All right. Here we are. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to be taking off, chewing up a little bit more tonight than we have been. I haven't gone very fast. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 11, 4. The Bible says, let's just start in verse 1. We'll go down through this. We've read this text several times, but we'll look at it some more tonight as we look at our third point in the study. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I prayed you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, even as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man. The woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time to teach the Word of God. I pray that you bless it, and Lord, that you would use this time for your honor, for your glory. We just thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to cover the subject of authority and order. That's what we've been talking about. And we've talked about the order of authority, and now we're going to talk about the order of worship. And so, we talked about that last week, so I need to get caught up to where we should be talking about the order of our witness. So we talked about the order of authority, the order of worship, and now we're going to talk about the order of our witness. And so we've covered actually the text that I just read, and now we're going to look at verses 13 that says, "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even that nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" That's what we've been waiting to talk about all week long. "But if a woman have long hair, it's glory to her, for her hair is given for her covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For the first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For if I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." All right, I'm going to pause there. I went a little bit further than I need to, but what we see in verse 13 through 16 is the order of our witness. And point A there on your notes is learn how to use your sword and not abuse it. That's really what he's talking about in verses 13 through 16 is judge yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So we should use our sword to cut hair. No, not really. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God, neither in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. And so, for years, well-intentioned Baptists, like I talked about last week, you know, got off on the subject of hair length. But there is no sin in those who take this literal in worship, right? Many of our Mennonite brothers, they still hold to this. I mean, they literally cover their heads. There are traditional churches in the inner city and in the south who hold the teaching. Women wear hats and veils, and men must uncover their head to worship at church. It's not an issue in our culture, and in this culture, we're not overly concerned about this. But if you say we need to adhere to this, then we also must make men run around in togas. So we don't take this so far, right? That men got to wear togas to church, and so on and so forth. So the issue is what is acceptable to Scripture and society. And so 1 Corinthians 11:6, the Bible says, "For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." So we talked about that for clarification. We've already discussed it, but we understand that is dealing with the culture of the time. So there was a generation of kids in the 60s and 70s that were lost due to the misapplying of Scripture, and so even souls probably went to hell over that. So hippies, you know, praise the Lord, Jim Boyette got saved. Hippies, just like punk rockers today or whatever we want to call them, they go in and out. So the bottom line is we got to meet them where they're at and take them where they need to go. And so I used Mark Chadwick as an example. He was a guy who came in here, was definitely on the extreme of even our culture in Cass County, you know, spiky hair and straight up spike. I mean, like a foot long. Anybody remember when you remember that, Jamie? He's a witness. I got a witness. So when he came to church here, I'm not exaggerating. Gauges and nose rings, lip rings, hair about probably a foot tall, but yeah, straight up, different colors. I mean, he looked like a goofball, and God saved him. And so, you know, I didn't have a class on how to do your hair and how to take gauges out. And same thing, Joey Fordyce. You know, after he got saved, he tended to, you know, decide, you know what, I'm gonna change my appearance. And I don't even know all the reasons why. I didn't ask him to do that, but it just kind of naturally happens. People go back to the way God actually originally made them. So, and they kind of back off a little bit on the extras to get attention. So I remember one time as a real example, though, of meeting people where they're at. I was working at City Union Mission. I was preaching, and there was an 18-year-old young man. He kind of looked like Marshall Mathers, if you know who that is, and kind of a white T-shirt, blue jeans, and grew up in a Christian home. And I ran into him on 12th Street, or 10th and Troost. I just preached, and he was in there, and I came out. At the time, I'm in my 20s, and I walk up to him, and we're visiting, having a good visit. He took what I said seriously. We were talking about his spiritual condition, and he happened to be smoking a cigarette. And so, did I bring that up? No, that wasn't really the point of my conversation at that point. I gathered, based on what I was hearing, he probably already knew about smoking. He was an 18-year-old. He knew it was bad for his health. All right, okay, I get it. And so the reason he was at City Union Mission, coming from the home that he was in, is probably because of rebellion, right? So I was just going to try to meet him where he was at in the Word. And then this brother comes up, a Baptist brother, preacher, comes up that I was an acquaintance of. And he sees the young man and walks up to him. And guess what he wants to talk about? Smoking cigarettes and how God doesn't want you to smoke, all these things. And hey, listen, he didn't say anything that was necessarily wrong. It was just a word that was not fitly spoken. It was not even important, actually, at this moment in this guy's life. He's in a point of crisis. His family has deemed him so rebellious that he's no longer welcome in their home. The last thing we need to talk about right now is his cigarettes, which is just a symptom of a bigger problem. And so I was so just vexed, really, is a good word, as the least of that homeless teen's problem at that moment was smoking cigarettes. And he needed a relationship with Christ. And if he had that relationship right, guess what? Smoking would take care of itself. And so so you can't clean the outside until God works on the inside. That's the point. And that's really what Paul's pointing out here too. So Paul does point out that both creation and culture point to the covering of a woman's hair as beautiful in verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a covering. And it is a beautiful thing. So however, to say that that men cannot have long hair is not biblical either, right? Because Samson was a Nazarite. He had long hair. Absalom's hair got so long that it caught him in a tree, and he got slain. And it wasn't forbidden, by the way. And so you have to have balance, and that's the point, biblical balance. The issue is what's a shame in the culture, what is not a shame in the culture. And Paul makes that very clear in verse 11. And so the issue in the passage is submitting to authority. That's really what we're talking about. The issue is not about hair length, but submission to authority for Christ's sake. The church is to submit to Christ for the sake of the community. The wife is to submit to the husband for the testimony's sake. The husband is not to submit to Paul's biblical instruction to keep peace in the church. And so... The husband is to submit to Paul's biblical teaching and instruction to keep peace in the church. That's my notes actually say is not, so that's not right. But the husband is to submit to Paul's biblical instruction to keep peace in the church. So it's about submission, right? And so for the testimony of Christ. And so, it's sort of like swimwear, right? So, if you want to wear swimwear, go for it. Just don't wear it to church, please, right? That's not the place. Don't come in here Sunday. Now, you can wear it. If you want to wear it, you can wear it in the baptism tank, but we're going to cover you up. I'd prefer, don't wear it in the pews, right? Right. If you're going to wear it under your clothes. We're not wanting to see it. Cover it up. And so, and you might have the best body in the world. Who cares? Cover it up. That's not the point. And so we need to make sure that we have wisdom in those matters. So if you'd find, you'd find just as much resistance going to work. Most places, if some lady wears a bikini to work, most places of business are going to go, "Excuse me, ma'am, you need to change your clothes." Why? It's not appropriate. And so, why would you do that at church, right? I'm going to push my liberty. You don't want to receive me. Well, listen, in our society, that's just not appropriate. And so, if it's just not appropriate. So, it's not spiritual or social in our country right now, anyway, to do that. Now, having said that, I've been in villages in Nepal where clothing is optional in certain cases, and you just roll with it because that is a social norm, right? That's not the first thing. It's like smoking cigarettes. It's not the first thing I'm going to address. I suspect as the gospel gets in that culture, modesty will, as we see it anyway, will probably end up changing or not. I don't know. But anyway, that's not the cultural norm, so I don't worry about it. And if you're in the jungle, right, it's a different set of issues. If you're David or Doug Pearson ministering out in the middle of the jungle to people who've never wore clothes before, right? Clothing's not the first thing he's going to bring. What's the first thing he's going to bring? The gospel. Matter of fact, I would use that. God got us out of the dust of the ground and he formed us and here we are, Adam and Eve, but there's shame. I'd try to find some shame in their culture. It probably wouldn't be with clothing, but it was something else and that they could understand the impact of sin. So, point D there is don't fight with your brothers over tradition. Stay focused on mission. And 1 Corinthians 11:16, that's what Paul's saying. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So there's so many preferences, even in this congregation here at HBF, I can't keep them all straight. I can't even keep all, should we wear straight pants or bell bottoms? I don't know, it's just too many. It's hard to keep them all straight. So the issue is not what kind of programs you watch or what kind of music you prefer, but what brings honor to Christ. You're free to keep your opinion, just don't force it on everybody else. And so that literally happened in the Kingdom Kids this morning. One of the kiddos comes in, his parents aren't churched, and something pops up on the screen, and he's like, "Oh, such and such sick." In my mind, I said, "Ooh, that's not really a good sitcom for that little young man to know about." But before I had a chance not to say anything, one of our little kids in our class says, "You shouldn't be watching that. Your parents are terrible." I'm like, "Stop right there. You're not helping the little guy." Because in his world, he doesn't know any different. That's not the first thing that little guy needs to learn. I agreed with the little girl over here, but she needed to learn too that that's not the first thing he needs to hear. Right? The first thing he needs to hear about is Christ. And so that'll in due time will take care of itself. And so literally, this scenario, as I'm pointing out, literally just, it even happens, it happens right here in our Kingdom Kids ministry, even today. And so it's kind of funny. But it's important to understand how important it was in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul's saying to these Corinthians, there's really nothing to fight about. There's no tradition in the church of God over such superficial issues. So if you want to leave HBF because I don't wear a tie every Sunday, then it's okay. People can do that. And there's a lot of churches where that's a focus. So you can go to that church where they wear a tie. So the point is, pick the battles carefully. Now, let's go back and we'll conclude this section by going to the previous chapter. 1 Corinthians, yes, ma'am.
Did you do blanks on B, C, and D? Because you did them really fast or something.
Oh, caught you sleeping, didn't I? All right, so A, learn how to use the sword, not abuse it. Learn how to use the sword, not abuse it. Right, the word is not to cut people up, but to help lead them to Christ, to do surgery on the heart. There are times you got to take it out and swing it. But anyway, point B, I was doing a funeral the other day, and you know when you start hearing hecklers, it's time to get the sword swinging. But anyway, Paul does point out that both creation and culture point to the covering of a woman's hair as beautiful. And so he does say that, hey, even creation does teach that long hair is beautiful. And so does society, by the way. And so he's just using that as a norm, saying, don't get crazy on this thing, because everyone knows that's the way it ought to be. It's sort of like in our culture. Everybody knows, so you should know, right, that the way God designed it, it used to be up until, like, you know, 15 years ago, everyone understood a man and a woman was what constituted a marriage, and that's the way it should go. Anyway, point C, the issue in this passage is submitting to authority. That's point C. And then point D is don't fight with your brother over tradition. Stay focused on your mission. Okay. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is where we're going to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Remembering what the Apostle Paul said here, he says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So here's some questions that we should ask ourselves. are my actions offensive to those I'm trying to reach? Right? Are the things I'm doing offensive to those I'm trying to reach? Well, then that's something we might want to curtail. Right now, if you say, well, yeah, preaching the gospel is offensive, well, then that's something you can't have an option on, because you got to obey God rather than man. But if it's, you know, the color, the type of perfume you're wearing, change your perfume, get rid of it. Right? If it's you know, you need to wear tennis shoes instead of flip flops, then put your tennis shoes on, whatever it takes, because you're trying to reach people. Right? Don't do silly things that we're going to impede the gospel. Are my actions offensive to those I worship with? Oh, that's another good thing. I mean, so if some churches, right, let's say I go visit a church and the norm, this happened to Pastor Randy a few weeks ago, one of our sister churches, he didn't realize that, you know, it's just customary for the pastors to wear ties and suits every Sunday. Fortunately, he wore a tie. He almost didn't, but he did, and he got there. Well, that would have been silly for him to intentionally not wear a tie or a suit just to, you know, put it in their eye. Well, don't do that. Wear a tie. Wear a suit. Do whatever they're wanting to do. It's not an issue. It's not in the church of God. Don't worry about that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with wearing a tie every week and a suit if you want to. And then, are my actions selfish, or do they profit others that they may be saved? Right? Are we focused on the needs of others, or are we focusing on ourselves? So, order, authority, and order, they affect the order. Paul laid out the order of authority in verses 1 through 3, the order of worship in verses 4 through 12, and then the order of our witness in verses 13 through 16, because ultimately we need to be having a good witness. All right, so, yes, ma'am. Oh, I thought you said a question. All right, that's what I got in that section. When we get back together, we'll pick it up and finish up the last half on the Lord's Supper. Good timing, because in 2 weeks, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday, we're going to have some baptisms. And so that's pretty awesome. I'm excited. It's filling up. I went from 1 to 3. So looks like we're going to have 3 baptisms. No, I didn't. Thank you. Someone's asking me if they can